Perfect. Thank you, Doug. It's always nice to be punctual. That's one of my character traits. I think I had it even before I went in the Army. In the Army, if you, and this is true with all the services, I think, if you're on time, you're late. So that's been sort of my motto pretty much all my life, and I think because of my German heritage, it's the same way. But at any rate, thank you for joining us tonight. It's a cold, see my turtleneck. It's a very cold night here in New Hampshire. We're looking at below zero wind chill factor, about -3 tonight. It's been snowing all day. I think we got between 6 and 8 inches of snow in total. Did a big snow plow with the John Deere this morning. I received a little note from my mailman a few days ago, and he said, please keep the mailbox plowed out. That's how much snow we've been getting around here. So today, normally, he comes around about 1:30 and delivers the mail, and I had already plowed everything out by about 10 o'clock this morning. And by 1:30, when I was expecting him, I went out with the Jeep, a Jeep Cherokee, and just went out there and ran it back and forth to kind of plow it down a little bit more. But he never showed up until about 4:30. So I saw him go by, and I knew that he goes down and turns around and comes back. So I put on my boots and my jacket and went out. And I think he thought I was going to give him a hard time when he pulled up. And I said, I just want to make sure that you're okay. I said, I've plowed and pushed the snow around twice today, but I didn't want you to have to fight the snow getting to our mailbox. So that's why I'm standing here. And he just laughed and he said, we'll just keep on plowing. The snow has since stopped about half an hour ago, and that should be it. But we have very frigid temperatures for the rest of the week, below zero, here in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. Now, Tennessee, where Doug is located, they're snowed in. They don't have really snow removal equipment for Tennessee, at least around where Doug is. And so he's been socked in all day. And so hopefully tomorrow that things are going to thaw out for him. But most of the country is freezing, as you well know, and I'm sure you are where you're located. Even the West Coast, I saw they have a huge freeze going on, especially up in the Oregon area. So our prayers to everyone for your safety, for your warmth, for your shelter, for your provision. And that's what has led me to tonight's title for this live stream. Climate Engineering, 1996 to 2025. I want to thank Dane Wigington from Geoengineering. And let me see, let me get his website pulled up here. I want to cite the name correctly, geoengineeringwatch.org. And we've featured Dane Wigington and his research on our live streams in the past, and I subscribe to his newsletter, and I received a feed today. He put up a 90-second YouTube short in which he was highlighting a report that was issued in 1996, which is making projections regarding climate geoengineering in total out to the year 2025. So I thought, considering the weather everybody's experiencing, this would be a nice welcome departure away from talking about economics and cryptocurrency and the like. So this report, let me just pop this guy open here real quick. There it is. This is entitled, again, this is from 1996. This is entitled, Weather as a Force Multiplier. Force multiplier is a military term. Weather is a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025. This is a research paper presented to the Air Force, and there are a number of colonels and lieutenant colonels and majors that are authors to this. This is August 1996, as I said, and I'm going to go through this. I went through and highlighted many of the sections in here tonight because I've often said, if you want to know what's going on today and literally tomorrow, look to recent history. And I still consider 1996 to be recent history. We're going to fold into this discussion our very often cited topic of quantum computing. I have a paper here. Actually, it's just a short article. This is from tomorrow.bio, and this is entitled Unleashing Weather Control with Quantum Computers, dated September 28th of 2023. The fascinating world of weather control through the power of quantum computers. So what I will do is I will bring us back to quantum computing at the conclusion of our 1996 report. Now I'll see if I can maintain my posture here tonight and sit up at the table. Something my father used to drum into all of us. Sit up at the table. Anyway, without digressing, I also have a bill from New Hampshire that Kathleen posted a few days ago in Band, and this is New Hampshire House Bill 1700. This was introduced January 11th of this year. Public hearing took place today on the 16th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time at the Legislative Office Building. However, due to the storm today, I did not attend. Normally, driving to the state office takes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours on a good day. With a snowstorm, it would have taken much longer, and it really was not, in my estimation, worth the risk of driving down there and back, virtually spending the entire day on the road. So I will pay attention to this. This is something that, again, Dane Wigginton alerted us to, and I will follow the vote on House Bill 1700 in the New Hampshire Legislature. I will read a little bit of this right now. The bill establishes a regulatory process to prevent the intentional release of polluting emissions in New Hampshire's atmosphere and at ground level, and provides penalties for violations. This bill requires reports of such violations to be made by state officials and members of the public to the Department of Environmental Services Air Resources Division of Compliance, and requires New Hampshire County sheriffs to carry out the enforcement of the provisions. So this is the Clean Atmosphere Preservation Act. I won't read through all of this, but this is the typical, what you all know, of geoengineering, weather modification. This includes, by the federal government, their actions on the part of aerosolized spraying, otherwise known as chemtrails. Now, I think most of you have been aware of chemtrails. I have, at least for some 30 years, that they've been spraying. That's how long this has been going on. Dane does a very comprehensive job of covering the history, the current events that are going on, showing the evidence, showing the laboratory testing of air and soil and water samples and so forth, and also filing a lawsuit. So he has done quite a bit. Had I known I was going to introduce this topic tonight, I probably would have extended an invitation for him to come on, but that would have been pretty short notice for him. Nonetheless, I'll try to do it some justice here tonight. The fact that New Hampshire is acknowledging that not only aerosolized spraying is going on, but another topic that we have covered heavily here extensively, of course, is electromagnetic energy pollution in the form of 5 and 6 and the coming 7G. And this is real. It's going on right now. You know it is. We have cited many scientific reports in which the peer-reviewed evidence stipulates, not just indicates, but conclusively stipulates the negative biological effects of 5G and 6G transmissions at their present transmission power levels, at their wattage levels of, what we would consider to be internet level transmissions. And you've heard us extensively talk about flipping the switch and post reset, the flipping of the switch, meaning the internet being turned off, virtually all communications being shut down, to usher in the economic reset for the world, which is for ushering in the Antichrist. Post reset, it would be max power, 5, 6, and 7G. I applaud New Hampshire, where I live, Kathleen and I make our home here, for what they're doing. It's the live free or die state. That's the state motto. It's on the highway signs everywhere. Live free or die. This, of course, is born out of the Revolutionary War here in the United States, the war against Britain. At any rate, at least it brings public attention, to a degree, brings public attention to the issue. And so they are talking about air pollution, weather modification, weather warfare, in fact, electromagnetic, so we could call that air pollution as well, what it is that they're spraying in the air, the health effects to humans, animals, plant life, damaging the soil, to the water pollution that is occurring, to the food modification and food pollution, the soils. So they're covering all the bases. And I read through the bill. I read through it extensively. It will require, in terms of surveillance, monitoring, testing, and enforcement, investigation and then enforcement, it will require many additional professionals to be hired, something the state really cannot afford. But it may be much ado about nothing. It may be futile in terms of its ability to be passed. We'll see. Again, I'll report on this. I hope it's passed. But even the implementation of such a bill is a long process, and as I'm outlining, it's very expensive. To me, it echoes what's going on with respect to Texas, augmented now by the National Guard out of Florida, taking on a role of securing our southern borders, at least in those two states, that the federal government is charged. You see, our Constitution stipulates that the primary reason for a federal government, a federal organization, a federal branch of the Constitution, is for the securing of our borders, to defend, as the oath that the president takes, to defend the country, the citizenry of the country, from all threats, be they foreign or domestic threats. The president is not doing his job. He's not following the oath. He's not in compliance with the oath. We all know that. So the states are taking it within their jurisdiction, taking it in their own hands. And this is what New Hampshire is doing with regard to climate engineering. What they are proposing in this bill is obviously at odds with what the federal government is doing to the environment. And is it not odd that we have, for example, the World Economic Forum is meeting, that they began on Monday, meeting in Davos, and you read through their agenda items, and of course, it's all environmental. So is it not interesting that we have John Kerry, who is the environmental representative for the United States, who has just announced he's resigning that position. But he and others are going there talking about we need to stop polluting the environment when the federal government itself is polluting the environment. That takes us to the 1996 report that I want to share with you tonight. Let's go to Revelation 16, verse 8, as our scripture for the evening, 16:8. Then the fourth angel, okay, this is under the six bowls of wrath out of Revelation 16. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was given power to scorch the people with fire. Verse 9, and the people were scorched by intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had authority over these plagues, yet they did not repent and give him glory. That's the state of the nation, as I've been saying in the last several live streams, the state of the nation, the state of the world. People are not repenting. That's the first step in salvation. They refuse to repent. It was that way with Egypt. It's that way with the world today. It's no different. Now, some of us who are experiencing the deep cold across the United States and even in Europe now might like a little bit of that intense heat, but you understand what's going on here, okay? Pardon my snoring dogs in the background. It's not me. You guys know that. It's just, they were out in the snow playing today. The dogs love it. Finley and Chance were rolling in the snow today. It was amazing. It was fun to watch. Anyway, let's move along here. So this is the United States Air Force, weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025. Owning. I would say that's a statement of hubris, wouldn't you? "2025 is a study designed to comply with a directive from the Chief of Staff of the Air Force to examine the concepts, capabilities, and technologies of the United States will require to remain the dominant air and space force in the future. Presented on 17 June 1996, this report was produced in the Department of Defense School Environment of Academic Freedom and in the interest of advancing concepts related to national defense. The views expressed in this report are those of the authors and do not reflect the official policy or position of the United States Air Force, Department of Defense, or the United States government." Sure. These are all military officers. Okay. So, again, in detail, I read through this. Let me just read the table of contents, then I'll just read my excerpts. We'll try to keep it succinct and on point. Okay, introduction, then required capability. Why would we want to mess with the weather? Now, that's interesting. Why would you use the word mess? I mean, this is supposed to be a sophisticated report. Come on, guys. Anyway, why would we want to mess with the weather? Next, what do we mean by weather modification? The Global Weather Network, applying weather modification to military operations. And that's the bulk of this report. It's how to manipulate the weather when you are engaging an enemy. Also, how to remain steps ahead in terms of technological development, steps ahead of your potential adversaries who are possibly engaging in the same or similar type of research and development and implementation, whether warfare. Okay? So concept of operations within that heading is precipitation, controlling precipitation, to induce precipitation or deny, reduce and deny precipitation. Fog, generating or clearing it. Storms, again, generating or controlling. Exploitation of, quote, near space for space control. That's the ionosphere, near space, ionosphere. Okay. Opportunities afforded by space weather modification. Communications dominance via ionospheric modification. You all know about HAARP, okay? That's an ionosphere heater. It's directing energy, transmitting energy, radiating energy into the ionosphere to heat it. And there's not just one. In Gakona, if I pronounce it appropriately, Gakona, Alaska, where HAARP is located, there are upwards of six, perhaps more, similar installations in other countries around the world. If you read my first novel, published in 2013, entitled Covert Catastrophe, HAARP plays a significant role in that story, okay? And it carries over into the second novel, 2048 Diamonds in the Rough. Okay, near space, and then followed by opportunities afforded by space weather modification, communications dominance versus ionospheric modification, artificial weather, concepts of operations, and how do we get there from here, and then conclusions, okay? Again, I'm just going to pull excerpts out of here. A lot of this is also controlling telecommunications to deny the enemy the ability to communicate by radio and so forth, various frequencies, VHF and UHF, as well as satellite communications and microwave communications, denying that through weather warfare, but also enabling, the flip side of that, enabling these communication systems by manipulating the weather for our benefit, okay? Acknowledgements. We express our appreciation to Mr. Mike McKim of Air War College, who provided a wealth of technical expertise and innovative ideas that significantly contributed to our paper. We are also especially grateful for the devoted support of our families during this research project. Okay, so executive summary, that's very short. Let me read that. It's only three paragraphs. In 2025, U.S. aerospace forces can, quote, own the weather. So they're projecting to 2025. Can own the weather by capitalizing on emerging technologies and focusing development of those technologies to warfighting applications. So the emerging technologies are the technologies right now. Okay? And especially I want to emphasize quantum computing after we get through this paper. Okay? But they talk about the Cray C90 supercomputer back in 1996 as providing the computational capability for weather modeling. Okay, we've talked about computational modeling extensively here. That we're going to carry over into the discussion of the capabilities in the implementation of quantum computing relative to weather warfare. Okay, geoengineering. Such a capability offers the warfighter tools, tools to shape the battle space in ways never before possible. It provides opportunities to impact operations across the full spectrum of conflict and is pertinent to all possible futures. They mean business. This is a high priority for, and has been for, the military. The purpose of this paper is to outline a strategy for the use of a future weather modification system to achieve military objectives rather than to provide a detailed technical roadmap. Let me jump down through some of this. Okay, here are the technology advancements in five major areas that are necessary for an integrated weather modification capability. Number one, advanced nonlinear modeling techniques. Now, when they say nonlinear, what they're talking about is being able to look at a variety of inputs and look at those inputs simultaneously. That should ring a bell. That should ring the bell of quantum computing for you. Okay, nonlinear, if you're even using a supercomputer, a Cray C90 back in the day, this is what is known as a vector processing computer. In other words, they're computationally, and I'll break it down to mathematics, if you are looking at a string of numbers, they are all moving in one direction. One direction is a vector, a line vector, okay, or a vector in one direction. So processing, you are processing information along one vector. Okay, you're concentrating the computational resources into one line of thinking. Okay, that's what quantum computing does. And today they refer to this, rather than vector computing, as they did with classical supercomputers, this is now called a discrete problem. It's essentially the same thing. But when they say nonlinear modeling techniques, it means they're not just taking a handful or maybe one variable and processing that to develop a computational model. They're taking multiples of variables. In quantum computing, this is known as combinatorial optimization, a combining of all the known information and considering it simultaneously in order to arrive at a discrete final answer. Okay, so number one, advanced nonlinear modeling techniques. Number two, computational capability. Number three, information gathering and transmission. Number four, a global sensor array. And number five, weather intervention techniques. These are all the five technology advancements that they're projecting to 2025 that need to be in place to accomplish the mission, which is a force multiplier of weather modification to the benefit of our military against an adversary military. Okay? So as I said, I highlighted quite a bit, so I'm skipping through the bulk of this report because I don't want to be doing a lot of reading. That gets boring. So I'm going to pull things out that are going to seem to be somewhat out of context, but bear with me. The term weather modification may have negative connotations for many people, civilians and military members alike. It is thus important to define the scope to be considered in this paper so that potential critics or proponents of further research have a common basis for discussion. Okay? In the broadest of sense, weather modification can be divided into two major categories: suppression and intensification of weather patterns. Now remember, this has been going on for years, and it's been advancing for years. You all have observed, experienced, heard about, read about really the outcome of what is projected into the future in this paper. And what the U.S. military here is talking about, the Air Force is talking about, has been replicated by major nations around the planet to include Russia and China. Okay. In extreme cases, it might involve the creation of completely new weather patterns, attenuation or control of severe storms, or even alteration of global climate on a far-reaching and or long-lasting scale. You've seen the weird behavior of hurricanes, right? Over the last, 10 years at least, especially down in the Gulf, coming into Texas and Louisiana and the steering and even the holding off the coast. I think it was in 2016 we had a hurricane coming in to the coast of Texas, and it hung out in the water. It didn't move inland. I think it was for at least 2 or 3 days. It just stayed out there sucking up energy out of the warm Gulf waters and intensifying. Then it moved in. It was very bizarre. It had, and the scientists were saying, we've never seen this before. Okay? Let me get something to drink here. In conducting the research for this study, the broadest possible interpretation of weather modification was initially embraced, so that the widest range of opportunities available for our military in 2025 were thoughtfully considered. So the widest range of opportunities. That's like, okay, what, even in the wildest imagination, what could we dream up for our military to use? That's basically what they're saying. However, for several reasons described below, this paper focuses primarily on localized and short-term forms of weather modification and how these could be incorporated into warfighting capability. So they go on to talk about how they want short-term and geographically focused attention, application, to the control of the weather for a short duration focused application, almost like you were dropping bombs or firing artillery shells. Okay. The primary areas discussed include generation and dissipation of precipitation, clouds and fog, modification of localized storm systems, and the use of ionosphere and near space for space control and communications dominance. These applications are consistent with, and they cite the Meteorological and Oceanographic Operations Manual. Extreme and controversial examples of weather modification creation of made-to-order weather, large-scale climate modification, creation and or control or steering, there you go, of severe storms, etc., were researched as part of this study, but receive only brief mention here because, in the author's judgment, the technical obstacles preventing their application appear insurmountable within the 30-year time period. Well, we have seen the steering of storms, again, hurricanes and so forth. If this were not the case, such applications would have been included in this report as potential military options. Despite their controversial and potential malevolent nature and their inconsistency with standing UN agreements to which the US is a signatory. On the other hand, the weather modification applications proposed in this report range from technically proven to potentially feasible. They are similar, however, in that none are currently employed or envisioned for employment by our operational forces. They are also similar in their potential value for the warfighter of the future, as we hope to convey in the following chapters. Again, the future is today. The brains of these models, again, they're now getting into computer modeling. I'll try to bring some continuity to these excerpts. The brains of these models will be advanced software and hardware capabilities, which can rapidly ingest trillions of environmental data points, merge them into usable databases, process the data through the weather prediction models and disseminate the weather information in near real time. Think quantum computing, okay? Now, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, known as NOAA, their plans include extensive data gathering programs such as next generation radar, that's known as NEXRAD, and those are land-based and sea-based radar stations. If you've read 2048 Diamonds in the Rough, there's a NEXRAD floating platform off the coast of Cyprus that figures into the storyline, okay? Next generation radar NEXRAD and Doppler weather surveillance systems deployed throughout the United States. Now they're internationally deployed. Data from these sensing systems feed into over 100 forecast centers for processing by the Advanced Weather Interactive Processing System, AWIPS. NOAA has leased a Cray C90 supercomputer, that was in 1996, supercomputer capable of performing over 1.5 times 10 to the 10th operations per second. That's 1,010 operations per second times 1.5. And has already been used to run a hurricane prediction system. Skipping through, two key technologies are necessary to meld an integrated, comprehensive, responsive, precise, and effective weather modification system. Advances in the science of chaos. Now, remember, order out of chaos, right? But in mathematics, there is a theory called the theory of chaos, okay, chaos theory. Chaos theory has to do with random number generation, stochastic analysis, Monte Carlo analysis, all things we've talked about in the under the heading of CERN and what they're doing with their data. Chaos theory is how you build a computer model. And so they apply this to the perception of the chaos of the weather. Advances in the science of chaos are critical to this endeavor. Also, key to the feasibility of such a system is the ability to model the extremely complex nonlinear system of global weather in ways that can accurately predict the outcome of changes in the influencing variables. Researchers have already successfully controlled single variable nonlinear systems in the lab and hypothesized that current mathematical techniques and computer capacity could handle systems with up to five variables. Now, with quantum computing, you can essentially take an unlimited number of variables and consider them simultaneously. I need to pause here for a moment. The heater is just cooking me with this turtleneck on. I'll be right back. Dogs are in there sleeping, and it's so warm it puts them to sleep, but they were all wet from the snow, so we were trying to dry them out. Okay, let's get back to this. Advances in these two areas would make it feasible. In other words, the computing capability, okay? Advances in these two areas would make it feasible to affect regional weather patterns by making small, continuous nudges to one or more influencing factors. Conceivably, with enough lead time and the right conditions, you could get, quote, made-to-order weather, a statement of hubris. Consequently, we advocate that the DoD explore the many opportunities and also the ramifications resulting from development of a capability to influence precipitation or conducting, quote, selective precipitation modification. Forget about El Niño, forget about La Niña. It's absolutely absurd. The weather is so out of control now, so abnormal. You all know that. I'm preaching to the choir. Selective precipitation modification. Although the capability to influence precipitation over the long term, i.e. for more than several days, this is still not fully understood. By 2025, we will certainly be capable of increasing or decreasing precipitation over the short term in a localized area. This study by William Gray et al. Investigated the hypothesis that, quote, significant beneficial influences can be derived through judicious exploitation of the solar absorption potential of carbon black dust. The study ultimately found that this technology could be used to enhance rainfall in the mesoscale, okay, that's in the near atmosphere, okay, the relatively middle altitudes of the atmosphere, on the mesoscale, generate cirrus clouds and enhance cumulonimbus or thunderstorm clouds in otherwise dry areas. Well, isn't that just wonderful? So on those clear days when you see the aerosolized spraying, typically on those days you will have those wispy clouds. Those are cirrus clouds. And then when you see the chemtrail begin to spread out left and right of its line of dispersion, its line of travel from the aircraft, they tend to look like cirrus clouds. And people who want to say, oh, that's just, you know, condensation from the jet engines. Okay? Today's engines are so sophisticated and so clean burning, they don't produce contrails, condensation trails. They don't produce them, except when they get up above 35,000 feet. Okay, here on Patch Airlines, we cruise at 144,000 feet, so nobody can even see what we're producing. Anyway, we have clean engines, and we have doors that stay on. The technology can be described as follows. Just as a black tar roof easily absorbs solar energy and subsequently radiates heat during a sunny day, carbon black also readily absorbs solar energy. When dispersed in microscopic or dust form in the air over a large body of water, the carbon becomes hot and heats the surrounding air, thereby increasing the amount of evaporation from the body of water below. That's how you generate a hurricane. That's how you intensify a hurricane. As the surrounding air heats up, parcels of air will rise, and the water vapor contained in the rising air parcel will eventually condense to form clouds. Over time, the cloud droplets increase in size as more and more water vapor condenses, and eventually they become too large and heavy to stay suspended and will fall as rain or other forms of precipitation. The study points out that this precipitation enhancement technology would work best, quote, upwind from coastlines with onshore flow. Think about the hurricanes as they begin to develop coming off the coast of Africa, moving across the Atlantic, and they begin to build and build in power. That's an onshore flow to the eastern seaboard of the United States. Lake effect snow. So we're talking about Lake Erie and Lake Michigan. Lake effect snow along the southern edge of the Great Lakes is a naturally occurring phenomenon based on similar dynamics. Jumping down along here, numerous dispersal techniques have already been studied, but the most convenient, safe, and cost-effective method, again, this is for the carbon black, cost-effective method discussed is the use of afterburner-type jet engines. This would be fighter aircraft, okay? Your commercial airliner does not have afterburners. This is military fighter jets and bombers that have afterburners, the smaller bombers, okay? Is the use of afterburner-type jet engines to generate carbon particles while flying through the targeted air. This method is based on injection of liquid hydrocarbon fuel into the afterburner's combustion gases. This direct generation method was found to be more desirable than other plausible methods. However, we can postulate how this technology might be used in the future by examining some of the delivery platforms conceivably available for effective dispersal of carbon dust or other effective modification agents in the year 2025. Recently, about a year ago, there was a lot of news coverage about Bill Gates and others saying, we want to block out the sun. We want to reduce solar radiation in order to limit global warming. Okay. One method we propose would further maximize the technology safety and reliability by virtually eliminating the human element. To date, much work, again, 1996, to date, much work has been done on UAVs, which can closely, if not completely, match the capabilities of piloted aircraft. If this UAV technology were combined with stealth and carbon dust technologies, the result could be a UAV aircraft invisible to radar while en route to the targeted areas. So UAV is a unmanned aerial vehicle, okay? However, minimizing the number of UAVs required to complete the mission would depend on the development of a new and more efficient system to produce carbon dust by a follow-on technology to the afterburner-type jet engines previously mentioned. So I'm sure we have those follow-on technologies by now. With regard to seeding techniques, again, I'm jumping through excerpts. With regard to seeding techniques, improvements in the materials and delivery methods are not only plausible but likely. Smart materials, 1996. You're going to hear stuff that sounds like what we've just talked about for the last couple of years, okay? Smart materials based on nanotechnology are currently being developed with GigaOps computer capability at their core. They could adjust their size to optimal dimensions for a given fog seeding situation and even make adjustments throughout the process. They might also enhance their dispersal qualities by adjusting their buoyancy, by communicating with each other, and by steering themselves within the fog. They will be able to provide immediate and continuous effectiveness feedback by integrating with a larger sensor network, and can also change their temperature and polarity to improve their seeding effects. As mentioned above, UAVs could be used to deliver and distribute these smart materials. It's also known as nanodust, is it not? Nanosensors? You guys all have your PhDs. You know all of this already. Exploitation of near space for space control. This section discusses opportunities for control and modification of the ionosphere and near space environment for force enhancement, specifically to enhance our own communications, sensing, and navigation capabilities and or impair those of our enemy. Okay. There is a strong motivation for this research because induced ionospheric modifications may influence or even disrupt the operation of radio systems relying on propagation through the modified region. The controlled generation or accelerated dissipation of ionospheric disturbances may be used to produce new propagation paths, otherwise unavailable and appropriate for selected radio frequency missions. A number of methods have been explored or proposed to modify the ionosphere, including injection of chemical vapors and heating, that's HARP, or changing via electromagnetic radiation, that's HARP, or particle beams. Can you say Tesla? The original Tesla, okay? Or particle beams such as ions, neutral particles, X-rays, mega electron volt particles, and energetic electrons. Starting to sound like CERN here, isn't it? It is important to note that many techniques to modify the upper atmosphere have been successfully demonstrated experimentally. Ground-based modification techniques employed by the FSU include vertical high-frequency heating, oblique high-frequency heating, microwave heating, and magnetospheric modification. Significant military applications of such operations include low-frequency communication production, high-frequency ducted communication, and creation of an artificial ionosphere. Moreover, developing countries also recognize the benefit of ionospheric modification. This concept has been described in detail in the paper entitled Artificial Ionospheric Mirrors, AIM. The authors describe how one could precisely control the location and height of the region of artificially produced ionization using crossed microwave beams, which produce atmospheric breakdown, which is ionization, of neutral species. The implications of such control are enormous. One would no longer be subject to the vagaries of the natural ionosphere, but would instead have direct control of the propagation environment. Ideally, the AIM could be rapidly created and then would be maintained only for a brief operational period. An AIM, that's the artificial ionospheric mirror, could theoretically reflect radio waves, with radio waves with frequencies up to 2 gigahertz, which is nearly 2 orders of magnitude higher than those waves reflected by the natural ionosphere. The microwave radiator power requirements for such a system are roughly an order of magnitude greater than the 1992 state-of-the-art systems. However, by 2025, such a power capability is expected to be easily achievable. So when they say orders of magnitude, that means 100 times greater. Okay? We are beyond 2 gigahertz. All right, let's jump around down through here. Again, something you've heard many times. Nanotechnology also offers possibilities for creating simulated weather. A cloud or several clouds of microscopic computer particles, all communicating with each other and with a larger control system, could provide tremendous capability. Interconnected, atmospherically buoyant, and having navigation capabilities in 3 dimensions, such clouds could be designed to have a wide range of properties. They might exclusively block optical sensors, or could adjust to become impermeable to other surveillance methods. They could also provide an atmospheric electrical potential difference, which otherwise might not exist, to achieve precisely aimed and timed lightning strikes. Even if power levels achieved were insufficient to be an effective strike weapon, the potential for psychological operations in many situations could be fantastic. Fantastic psychological operations. Scaring the heck out of your enemy, whoever your enemy is designated to be, scaring the heck out of people with nanotechnology affecting the weather. Conclusions. Efforts are already underway to create more comprehensive weather models, primarily to improve forecasts. But researchers are also trying to influence the results of these models by adding small amounts of energy at just the right time and space. These programs are extremely limited at the moment and are not yet validated, but there is great potential to improve them in the next 30 years. But while offensive weather modification efforts would certainly be undertaken by U.S. forces with great caution and trepidation, it is clear that we cannot afford to allow an adversary to obtain an exclusive weather modification capability. When I read that, I had flashbacks to Dr. Strangelove with Peter Sellers. Also, George C. Scott talking about they were talking about hiding government officials and selected people of the population and sheltering them in mine shafts, and George C. Scott playing the general when they were in that round meeting room, circular table, domed meeting room, talking about we can't let the Russians get a mine shaft advantage over us. We have to maintain mine shaft superiority. I'm paraphrasing. It is clear that we cannot afford to allow an adversary to obtain an exclusive weather modification capability. The ionosphere is the part of the Earth's atmosphere beginning at an altitude of about 30 miles and extending outward 1,200 miles or more. This region consists of layers of free electrically charged particles that transmit, refract, and reflect radio waves, allowing those waves to be transmitted great distances around the Earth. If you're familiar with ham radio, shortwave radio, they would skip their transmission off the ionosphere. So you'd have this little ham radio set. You would direct your antenna towards the ionosphere, and you would use it like a plain pool, like a pool table. And you would bounce, like off the cushion on a pool table, you would bounce your transmission off the ionosphere like a mirror, reflecting it over the horizon to a distant, perhaps the other side of the planet, distant location. So that was called skip. That's what they're referring to here. The interaction of the ionosphere on impinging electromagnetic radiation depends on the properties of the ionospheric layer, the geometry of the transmission, and the frequency of the radiation. Although the ionosphere acts as a natural mirror for high-frequency radio waves, it is in a constant state of flux, and thus its mirror property can be limited at times. In summary, the ionosphere's inherent reflectivity is a natural gift that humans have used to create long-range communications connecting distant points on the globe. However, natural variability in the ionosphere reduces the reliability of our communication systems, that depend on ionospheric reflection and refraction. Okay? I think that covers, yep, that covers our grouping of excerpts from that report. I share this with you, obviously, because this is a topic that most of you are familiar with and you're concerned about. It again demonstrates the notion that what is revealed today is already 30 to 40 to 50 years in development, and that it's already applied technology, it's already in use, and then it's revealed to the public. This is a good example of that. So when we have websites and YouTube channels that operate as the fact checkers, and fact checkers is a George Soros funded operation. It's a psychological operation, fact checking. It's where we apply the Patch 180 technique. Whatever they're saying in fact checks, whatever they're saying in the mainstream media, turn it 180 degrees around and it will reveal the true nature of the topic that's under discussion. So when the fact checkers want to say, oh, there's no such thing as chemtrails. Those lines you see in the sky, that's condensation, those are contrails. That happens all the time. Yeah, when jets first came out, when we had jet-powered commercial airliners beginning in the mid-60s, yeah, we had contrails, but not today. Not unless you're up above about 40,000 feet. Most airliners, they cruise at an altitude of 30 to 35,000 feet. Okay? So now you have a report. I'll post a link in band at the conclusion of tonight's live stream. I will post a link in band to this report. You can print it out and have it and show it to your uncle who seems to think he knows everything and tries to debunk you when you say, look, they're spraying stuff. So what are they spraying? Well, people like Dane Wigginton, and he's actually a rarity. There are not many people that are going to really come out in public and say the things that he's saying, and I applaud him for what he says. But from my understanding, not so much from what Dane has presented, so I won't speak for him, I'll speak for my knowledge base. There are things like desiccated red blood cells, human red blood cells, desiccated. Desiccated means they're dried, okay? Aluminum. Now, that's something that Dane has tested in the form of soil samples around his home in California, Northern California, extensively, and has found way beyond acceptable norms, levels of aluminum in the soil where they grow crops, okay? Aluminum is a neurotoxin, okay, among other effects. Lithium. Now this goes back to, I want to say 2014, 2015, but it's been repeated since then. There was a pretty well publicized, even in the mainstream, event on the East Coast. I'm not talking Flight 800. I'm talking about the launching of small rockets. These are not things that are going to go into space. We're talking small, short-range rockets. Not missiles, but rockets, much smaller. And their nose cones were filled with lithium. Back in those days, they were not making rechargeable batteries using lithium. Lithium was used as a pharmaceutical. It's a medication that is prescribed by psychiatrists as a calming agent. These rockets were deployed over the ocean on the eastern seaboard, and the prevailing onshore winds carried the lithium to the coastal population. Now, this is very much akin to what occurred where I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Back in the 50s and 60s, they were releasing into the atmosphere over the San Francisco Bay Area at different times various flu strains in the air from aircraft. And people were contracting these different strains of flu at different times. And so when the doctors and the clinics and the ERs were treating people and filing their reports with the public health departments, that data was gathered and modeling was conducted to determine the spread of a biological agent. This was to mimic biological warfare on the part of an enemy dispersing in the air by aircraft or rockets, missiles, whatever, dispersing biological materials as biowarfare. They wanted to see what would happen, how the prevailing winds, the currents, the patterns, the atmospheric conditions, and they conducted these in different types of atmospheric conditions in order to plot these models as to where people would receive these biologicals, be contaminated, be infected by these biologicals, and potentially would die. So how many numbers? what's the morbidity and mortality rate? Well, apply that to lithium on the East Coast. People psychologically being affected, and then the data coming in and the modeling of this. Essentially, very similar. There are other heavy metals that are sprayed regularly. No doubt there are nanoparticles. No doubt there are smart dust nanoparticles. At any rate, let's go to quantum computing. Again, this is from tomorrow.bio, Unleashing Weather Control with Quantum Computers, September 28, 2023. They don't list an author here, otherwise I would cite. Now, this is not very long, but I want to read this to you in excerpt form. Thanks to the revolutionary advancements in quantum computing combined with cutting-edge weather control technologies has the potential to unleash a new era of weather manipulation that could have far-reaching impacts on agriculture, disaster prevention, and even climate change. Now, you understand about quantum computing, so I will jump past their typical background presentation about it. Imagine having a computer that can predict the weather with incredible accuracy, allowing us to plan our activities accordingly. Quantum computers have the potential to revolutionize weather forecasting by processing massive amounts of data and running complex simulations. Remember, they've done this already with COVID. With their ability to handle vast amounts of information simultaneously, quantum computers can analyze atmospheric conditions, ocean currents, and other factors that influence weather patterns. This could lead to more accurate predictions, helping us prepare for severe weather events and mitigate their impact. But the applications of quantum computing go beyond weather control. They can also revolutionize fields such as drug discovery, COVID, and the vaccines, financial modeling, which we've been talking about for the last two to three weeks, and artificial intelligence. Remember, they develop in concurrent parallel timelines, quantum computing and AI. For example, quantum computers can simulate the behavior of molecules, enabling researchers to design new drugs and materials with greater precision. They can also optimize financial portfolios by quickly analyzing vast amounts of data and identifying the most profitable investment strategies. No doubt that's already being applied with cryptocurrencies, okay? Furthermore, quantum computers have the potential to enhance machine learning algorithms, leading to advancements in artificial intelligence. By leveraging their ability to process and analyze complex data sets, quantum computers can train models more efficiently and make predictions with higher accuracy. This could have a profound impact on various industries, from healthcare to self-driving cars. So they're echoing the reporting that we've done for years here, okay? As we continue to unlock the full potential of quantum computing, it's clear that this technology holds immense promise. While we are still in the early stages of its development, the possibilities are endless. Quantum computers have the power to revolutionize the way we solve problems, opening up new frontiers in science, technology, and beyond. The science of weather control. Now that we have a grasp on quantum computing, let's take a closer look at the science behind weather control. Weather modification, also known as cloud seeding, has been around for decades. Scientists have been trying to influence the weather by introducing substances such as silver iodide or dry ice into the atmosphere to stimulate cloud formation and precipitation. So that's old school technology, okay? But what actually happens when these particles are introduced into the atmosphere? Weather modification is based on the concept of nucleation. Now, this is something Dane Wigington cites many, many times, frequently, okay? Ice nucleation. In other words, the production of ice, snow, granular types of snow, rather than snowflakes, at above freezing temperatures, ice nucleation, above freezing temperatures, okay? Weather modification is based on the concept of nucleation, where particles in the atmosphere act as a catalyst for the condensation of water vapor, leading to the formation of clouds. By introducing additional particles, we can potentially manipulate the size, duration, and intensity of precipitation events. So I want to add into the mix from the 1996 Air Force report, nanoparticles, smart nanoparticles, as they cited, into this discussion of nucleation. Nucleation, the gathering of moisture to generate precipitation in the form of above freezing temperature ice and snow. That nucleus, that seed, can very well be a nanoparticle, groups of nanoparticles, okay? So now you have not only the concept of smart dust, but smart snow. However, the outcomes of weather modification techniques have been inconsistent, and the ability to control specific weather patterns has remained elusive. This is where quantum computers enter the picture. Quantum computing, with its ability to process vast amounts of data simultaneously, that's combinatorial optimization, okay, and perform complex calculations, holds the promise of revolutionizing weather control. By harnessing the power of quantum algorithms, scientists hope to gain a deeper understanding of the intricate processes that govern weather patterns, Now, when we talk about quantum algorithms, we have to also consider the algorithms of artificial intelligence. So to break down this idea that I'm introducing into this article here of smart snow, smart ice, you now have the ability through artificial intelligence to direct these smart nanoparticles. Thus, the snowstorm can be directed, the ice storm can be directed to locations, intensity, concentration, duration, altitudes, high and low. It's a weapon system controlled by quantum computers and AI. Smart snow, smart ice, ice nucleation. Current technologies and weather control. Today, weather control technologies are mainly based on statistical calculations and numerical models. Scientists use sophisticated computer algorithms to analyze vast amounts of data and make predictions about future weather patterns. Now, that would be more in the classical supercomputer level, not quantum computing, okay? While this has undoubtedly improved our understanding of weather, it still falls short of providing precise and reliable control over specific weather events, okay? Reliable control. That's weather warfare, okay? Imagine a future where we can accurately predict and control weather events with unprecedented precision. Quantum computing could be the key to unlocking this potential. With quantum computers, scientists would be able to simulate weather patterns at an unprecedented level of detail. They could model the behavior of individual particles, okay? In the atmosphere, taking into account their interactions and the complex dynamics of Earth's climate system. By running simulations on quantum computers, scientists could explore countless scenarios. Remember, millions of iterations per minute? When we talked about in silico design of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, okay? Test different interventions to influence weather patterns. Running simulations on quantum computers, countless scenarios. Those are iterations, okay? They could optimize the placement and composition of seeding particles, fine-tuning their impact on cloud formation and precipitation. Moreover, quantum computing could enable real-time monitoring and adjustment of weather control interventions. With the ability to process data at incredible speeds, quantum computers could analyze incoming weather data and make instant calculations to optimize ongoing weather modification efforts. While quantum computing holds immense potential for weather control, it is important to note that there are still many challenges to overcome. Quantum computers are still in their infancy, and developing the algorithms and hardware necessary for weather control applications will require significant advancements. Hey, they were already talking about this in 1996. This is a done deal. We know that because all we have to do is observe the weather to know that this is already under the control of quantum computing, okay? Nonetheless, the possibilities are exciting. Quantum computing could revolutionize our ability to understand and manipulate the weather, opening up new avenues for disaster prevention, agriculture, and climate management. With its immense processing power, quantum computing can revolutionize how we approach weather control. By leveraging the computational capabilities of quantum computers, we can simulate and model weather patterns with unparalleled precision. This could enable us to manipulate weather phenomena on a scale never before imagined. Imagine being able to prevent devastating hurricanes. Apply the patch 180 here, folks. Imagine being able to prevent devastating hurricanes or droughts before they wreak havoc on communities. Quantum computing could help us develop sophisticated predictive models that would allow us to forecast extreme weather events with incredible accuracy. This in turn would provide us with valuable time to take preventive actions and mitigate the damage caused by these disasters. Now, overlay that with the weaponization of weather that we just covered. They're saying the opposite here, but it's the same mechanisms that are at play. Whether you apply it for benevolent reasons and applications or military malevolent applications. It's the same technology. Besides disaster prevention, quantum computing could also help optimize agricultural processes. Okay, so we go on from there. Let's see. All right, I think we covered that pretty well. Because you all have a lot of background knowledge. I don't need to get too deep into that. All righty. So where are we at? We have OpenAI's ChatGPT-5 coming out this year in a few months. I believe it's June. We already have ChatGPT-4. ChatGPT-5 is being promoted now openly as possibly, they're saying, achieving artificial general intelligence, AGI. Going back a couple of months, I openly stated that they had already achieved artificial general intelligence and that it, in its development process, it blew right on past AGI. It didn't raise its hand and say, hey, I'm AGI now. It went right to artificial superintelligence. The timing of this, and there are more AI systems like ChatGPT-5 in terms of the level of development of these other, by other manufacturers, by other research firms, similar levels of AGI and artificial superintelligence that's already been achieved. This fits into the announcements for cryptocurrency and their ETFs. Artificial superintelligence is already at work in the rolling out of these ETFs, as were they involved in, along with quantum computing and that level of superintelligence, as they were involved in the psychological operation, the plandemic of COVID-19 and the vaccine campaigns. This was all scripted out, it was all gamed, it was all computer modeled ahead of time, and then it was released into the world, this computer model. The same thing is going on that went on with COVID. The same thing is going on with cryptocurrencies and their ETFs. I've explained this and described it as the giant sucking sound derived, monies derived, currencies derived, liquidity, if you will, from the sale, wholesale liquidation of asset classes across the board in order to direct these monies into cryptocurrency. And when I say that, I'm obviously saying they're associated ETFs, exchange-traded funds. And it will all collapse by the end of the year. So we're seeing the effects of artificial superintelligence classical computing and quantum computing being used together for the biological, psychological operation, and now the financial, psychological operation that's following on. It's the same pattern, it's the same plan, it's the same modus operandi, problem, reaction, solution. Both of these psychological operations are all going in the same direction to the same endpoint, and that endpoint is the reset and the enthroning of the Antichrist system. Okay? This is the coalescing. I wanted to wrap up tonight with just this comment about finances. The rush into cryptocurrencies . One of the primary motivating factors for the liquidating of assets and the concentration of those currencies, those realized currencies, money supply, if you will, into cryptocurrencies and ETFs is because they are viewed as a hedge against inflation. Now, Up to this point in terms of crypto, gold was considered a hedge against inflation. So if you wanted a safe haven that was better than bonds, better than the stock market, better than mutual funds, better than the money market, you would park your money in gold or silver, because it was viewed as having an intrinsic value. An accepted intrinsic value. And thus, it would go up in value during an inflationary period and would retain its value, as opposed to a sovereign currency like the US dollar, which in an inflationary period would experience the erosion of its value, and with it, its purchasing power. Thus, gold was considered a safe haven, a hedge against inflation. Now, replacing gold as a hedge are these cryptocurrencies and their ETFs. Something I've seldom mentioned, but I have over the years about gold is the issuance of gold certificates, as opposed to holding physical gold. When you buy gold, you are issued a gold certificate, except in those rare occurrences where you can actually get your hands on physical gold. I have said over the years that they have issued far more certificates for gold than there is redeemable physical gold. They've oversold gold. Obviously, this is fraudulent. But who's going to hold them accountable when the entire global economy collapses? No one's going to be held accountable for the debts, and no one's going to be held accountable for the lack of physical gold, should someone have the ability, even when the reset comes, to try to redeem gold certificates. They will be worthless. Just like dollars will be worthless, and every other printed and minted currency on the planet will be worthless. None of this is coming out the other side. There is no hedge against inflation. There's no hedge against the reset. None of this is coming out the other side. This is like a black hole. If you ever saw that movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey, and he goes into the black hole. No, you're not coming out the other side of the black hole. Sorry. Black holes are still theoretical. I don't care what anybody says. But the theory is that the gravity, which is actually electromagnetic attraction or repulsion, it's electromagnetism, but it would tear everything apart as it approached the black hole. So Interstellar as a movie, as a story, is a joke. I liked Matthew McConaughey's portrayal in the movie. I thought he did a good job as an actor playing a character. But the story, the plot line, is absolutely implausible and ridiculous. But it was a cool movie visually and all that kind of stuff. So I guess on that level, it's worth watching. For me, as they got to the black hole and then he's inside the black hole and then he's seeing all the representation of time going by inside and he's floating around and the robot is narrating, you know, what's going on, telling him so the audience knows. Then the purpose of the robot narrating, doing the voiceover, is so the audience knows what the heck's going on. But nonetheless, I found it very frustrating because it's absolutely implausible. It's ridiculous. It's a fairy tale. Okay, it's a fairy tale. It's entertainment. It's not supposed to educate. I get it. It had some cool music in it. I liked Interstellar's music. It was fantastic. At any rate, like a black hole, nothing comes out the other side of the reset. Not cryptos, not ETFs, not gold, not silver. Scripture says they'll be casting their silver in the streets. So I find all of this in a strange way, because I have a strange sense of humor. I find it amusing. Amusing because we know what's going on because we read the Word of God. We understand in our faith what's going on. We understand who's in control. We understand who wrote the plan. We understand. The rest of the world does not understand, so they are subject to this. They're just leaves being carried along by the wind. I want tonight's message to be not only confirmational of many things that you already know, but I want it to be a source of strength for you. Because you have the knowledge, because you know what's going on. So many times we've cited this. Now you see through the glass clearly, where once we saw through the glass dimly. It can be very frustrating. Kathleen and I have had the privilege of speaking with many of you over the last 2 weeks. We're all frustrated. I didn't hear anyone say they were frightened. If anything, it's completely the opposite. They are strengthened by the knowledge that they have gained on their own, and the knowledge they've gained here on this platform. But it also can be tiresome. It can make you weary. Not frightened, but just tired. And that's also in Scripture. I said this a couple live streams ago, and I'll repeat it. Sometimes you have to push away from the table. If all this information is weighing heavily on you, push away from the table. Give it time to digest. Give yourself time to come to terms with it. Get quiet with the Lord and just pray about it. Pray for strength, clarity, understanding, wisdom. He'll calm you. He'll rebuild you. You'll find yourself emboldened with strength, and then you can come back to the table. So don't feel like you're doing something wrong or you're chickening out or feeling like it's just too overwhelming and I don't want to deal with it at all. Give yourself a break. Do something different. It's often been said we have to have some balance in our life, and that's very true. We've described it here on the home front here in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. You know, Kathleen and I strike a balance because we've got all these animals to take care of. And we continuously, we're laughing around here because you know how dogs like to trip you up. They love to follow you. They love, especially labs, our two labs, follow your footsteps. So you're always getting tangled up in their feet, in their paws. And they're getting tangled up in your feet. Well, now we have three kittens to add to that parade going up and down the hallway, the main hallway of our house. And I sometimes just stand there and I watch the parade go by. That lightens up the day. Especially the cats, the kittens, they are so funny. They are hilarious. The dogs, they just kind of tolerate the cats. They get along fine. They sleep together. They get along great. But the cats are funnier than the dogs most of the time because they're kittens. They do silly things. So find some levity in your day. Find some joy in your day. Find something to offset all of these things that we go into here in these live streams. I would offer this as I conclude tonight. Not in a hubris way, but understanding that you are children of God. You have a right to claim your inheritance to the kingdom of God. Therefore, take the high road. Take the higher position. Take the elevated position. And I'm not necessarily talking about Patch Airlines. Take the higher road with all of this stuff. Because Satan's trying to pull you down. Take the higher position. The position that your salvation has given you. You're washed clean of your sins. You're being supernaturally improved every day. Way ahead of the stupid technologies. Take the high road, take the high position as you walk that narrow path with the Lord. He never leads you to your side. And look up, for your redemption draws nigh. The Lord's returning very soon. God bless you all, and good night.